Hey everybody, I want to take a look today at Luke chapter 11 in a very awkward dinner party. This is Luke 11, 37. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup of the and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses that you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You do not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.'" As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him, to catch him in something he might say. So you can see why I say this is an awkward dinner party. Jesus is a guest at these people's house. He deliberately, and I would suggest premeditatedly, violates one of their customs, one of their expectations. And then when challenged about it, he proceeds to pronounce curses on them. First, he curses the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you guys because of all these things." And then the lawyers say, "Hey, you're insulting us too." And he says, "Oh, wait, let me get to you." And then he gives them three curses. This is definitely an awkward situation, a very uncomfortable meal. There's a couple things to say. One, I think we forget that the Pharisees were the party that scholars tell us were the most closely aligned with Jesus. In other words, Jesus would have probably on paper agreed with them the most. We usually see them as these evil, nefarious figures, but we should probably see them as Jesus' co-religionist. We might even say, well, in fact, they did worship in synagogues together. So these are people maybe sitting in the pews with Jesus, if you want to put it that way. Now, Jesus goes, and he does indeed violate one of their most important principles. One of the things Pharisees believed was that the cleanliness laws that applied only to priests in the Old Testament should apply to all the people of God. And if all the people of God would simply follow these customs, God would vindicate them and defeat the Romans. And Jesus, notice in here, he doesn't get onto them for cleansing. He gets onto them for missing the cart for the horse or cleansing the wrong thing. He says, "Guys, yes, sure, clean the outside of the cup, but it's the inside that's the most important." This is resonant with all of Jesus' teachings that many of the laws are meant to point to a deeper righteousness. In other words, Jesus will say in another place, in Mark, that the food laws of cleanliness are trying to teach that you can be contaminated. But ultimately, it's not food that can contaminate you, it's the heart. And that's precisely what Jesus gets at in his criticism, is that you guys tithe down to every herb, but you don't give justice and mercy, which is what tithing is all about in the first place. You are preoccupied with details, and you miss the forest for the trees. You miss that God is looking for a certain kind of heart, a certain kind of attitude, a certain kind of help towards others. And so Jesus really does lay it on thick in his criticism of them. He says, listen, you ought to, don't neglect tithing, but be people who bring justice, who give to the needy, whether it's time or money or attention. He says, you guys, your church activities primarily have to do with how you're seen by the people there. And so you're preoccupied with the praise of people. And this is the most damning of the Pharisees. You guys are preoccupied with cleanliness. Let me tell you something. Your hearts aren't clean. They're full of greed. They're full of envy. They're full of pride. And what you don't know is you're like dead bodies all over the place, contaminating people when they don't even know it. That's the point of the unmarked graves. So the great irony of what Jesus says to them is you're preoccupied with cleanliness, and yet your hearts are contaminating the whole people of God, and you and they don't even know about it. And then the lawyers, I love the lawyers, are like, hey, you're kind of offending us too. And Jesus says, yeah, let me talk to you. He gives them three woes as well. He says, you guys lay all these strict regulations and rules that have a good place, but you lay them on people and you don't even help them. And you don't do them yourselves. You should be oriented toward helping the people of God get to the heart of what God's interested in. You should be doing it yourselves, and you should be helping them and being gracious to help them and ingrace them to do what God wants them to do. You guys build tombs to the people who killed, or you build tombs to the prophets, and thus draw attention to the fact that you've been the guys often opposing what God is doing. And then finally, you've taken away the key to knowledge. You keep people from understanding the essence of the scripture when you focus so much on details that were meant to point to more important matters, and you never bring people to the important matters, especially yourselves. Now, I think what's important about this is we shouldn't see this as a criticism of somebody far away. We should see this as a criticism of ourselves. Remember, Luke is writing this maybe 20, 30 years after these events took place, when the church has settled in and maybe begun to have practices and maybe begun to get focused on details that were important at one time, but to be distracted from the really important issues. So I think we should see these woes not directed as tisk tisk, those terrible Pharisees, but we should use them with the Spirit of God for self-criticism to see if we are ingracing people to walk in the ways of God, are focusing on particulars that are really hindering people from walking in the ways of God, to see if we're policing the borders, or to see if we're really looking for the fruit of righteousness that is meant to come from inside of us. So may we come to Jesus, may we let Him examine us. And if we need a woe, let's hear the woe, so that He can help us clean the inside of the cup, so that what comes out of our lives toward one another and toward outsiders is mercy, humility, righteousness, holiness, and the love of God that's exhibited in Jesus Christ. Notice, too, that the result of this with the Pharisees is not repentance, is not humility, is not, man, Jesus, thank you for helping us get our heads out of the sand, but it's intensification of opposition. And, of course, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, we know, and so He's fully expecting this. The last thing I would say is that I fully believe that when Jesus gave these woes, His hope and His prayer that night when He went to sleep was that some of His hearers heard the rebuke and began to focus on the things that God wanted them to focus on in their lives. So may we hear that rebuke and may we respond. Amen.